Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Birum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birum Baum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
To Breakthrough Entertainment. I think I heard Breakthrough. Did you hear the entertainment part?
You did great.
Okay, thank you so much. Live at the 1480 AM studios, KPHX, in Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Greg Isaac, Joseph Erdo, and Sebastian Norn. And I think we have another update from Orlando, Florida, Adam Markowitz. Adam, what's going on?
Crucial point in the game right now, Dave, is 34 seconds left in the first half, and the Rattlers have the ball right near the goal line. Let's see what they're going to do on this play real quick. And they're about to be facing fourth down with 30 seconds left in the half. It's 21 up. Both teams have only been stopped that one time, but both defenses have looked like they could get some stops here soon. So these 30 seconds could be crucial because Philadelphia is going to get the ball out of the break in the second half.
Wow, so it's 21-21, 30 seconds left, and what is it, fourth?
It's going to be fourth down goal at the, I had to come outside on the concourse, looks like about the 3-yard line.
All right, Rattlers Ball. So thank you so much. This is closer than I thought it would be. Actually, I did think they'd win by 1 point.
They're actually kicking a field goal here, Dave. Sorry about that.
Oh, are they?
And the kick is good. So it's now 24-21 Rattlers with 26 seconds left in the first half.
Adam, thank you. We'll talk to you again in about 30 minutes. Thank you so
Thanks
much.
A lot.
All right. Now, Greg, Sebastian, what the heck are you guys laughing about?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
I think they're making fun of you.
I know. They were laughing hysterical. Joseph, did you hear anything funny?
I'm lost.
I'm lost, too, like the TV show.
They're just watching some funny stuff on YouTube, you know.
Oh, all. Yeah. All right.
That was a cool cat that you were looking at there.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so.
All right, so before our special guest joins us, let's do another trivia question. Greg has 2 points. Dave has 1 point. Sebastian has 1 point. Eric, you have 0.
I suck.
Okay, you want to still get in the game here? All right.
You are the 0.
We're celebrating
that
Kick-Ass.
That will change, though.
Yeah, I'm sure, because we've got plenty of questions here left to go. We're celebrating Kick-Ass 2. Before Nicolas Cage eventually snagged the role of Big Daddy in Kick-Ass, which of the following actors was initially considered? Was it A, Mark Wahlberg, B, Dwayne Johnson, or C, John Travolta?
John Travolta, C.
Definitely
John
not.
Travolta,
yeah,
C.
John Travolta.
I'm thinking the Rock. What's his name? Dwayne.
Okay, so you're saying Dwayne, and then you three are saying
John Travolta.
Wait. John Travolta?
I'm going to say I'm taking a chance here.
You're going to go with Marky Mark?
Take that chance, Dave.
Marky Mark.
It was a chance worth taking. It's Mark Wahlberg.
Oh,
yeah.
I take
no.
the tie.
Why did
two, one.
Either that, or
zero.
I've got to get a better poker face.
Dave's
here.
Winning.
No, he's tied with Greg.
All right. So Daniel Craig was also initially considered for the role, but again, it eventually went to Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, you can't have James Bond as that role.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I know. That would have been weird. But, you know, so I think it worked. Nicolas Cage was a lot of fun in the first one, right?
He was. He was
and,
great.
And you see his pictures on the wall in a couple scenes in this one. You see his costume.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Don't see what happened to him,
Yeah, because Dave has to see the first one.
Right. So, of course, we are waiting for our special guest, Kira Zagorski from Chained, and we'll tell you a little bit about that. She's got a lot of different films. I think we might have her on the line here. We'll see.
Yes,
we have her on the line. Okay, all right. So let me tell you a little bit about the film Chained before we bring her on. In this film, it's about a great war king, Agamemnon, whose daughter is fated to be sacrificed to the gods. In a last-ditch effort to rescue her, he calls upon his guardian goddess Athena, played by Kira Zagorski, and entreats her to defend the daughter from her death sentence. She not only stars in this film, she also wrote it and she produced it. It is screening August 22nd at the Action on Film International Film Festival, nominated for 6 awards, including Best Lead Actress for Kira.
And Kira Zagorski, thank you for joining Breakthrough Entertainment live here in 1480 AM KPHX. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much. Joseph, let me bring it back to you.
Yeah, so I watched this short film. Congratulations, first of all, on your nominations.
Thank you. And yeah, that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, it must be. You must, you know, how is it feeling, you know, going into this film festival next week? You know, what are your thoughts? What are your emotions?
Well, the thing I'm excited about to write something and create it and be the person that brought everybody together to make it happen, it feels great to know that it was well-received. The people got the story. They were moved by it. Just having the nominations, that was what it means. And the other thing that was interesting about this festival is that you don't submit your own nominations, but they decide for you. And since it's international, it feels really exciting, and I'm honored because films from all over the world.
That's very exciting. And you know, we're strong supporters of the Phoenix Film Festival, and we had on several stars. We'd love to have you submit this to the Phoenix Film Festival. Love to have you out here, and we'd support you with this film as well, because we thought it was an excellent film.
Oh, thank you. Well, I will definitely submit it to Phoenix. I would love to do that.
And so, you know, here on Breakthrough Entertainment, we're really all about the themes of movies, how they apply to real life. I really like your theme in this film. Let me tell our listeners about it. It reflects how the bond between father and daughter and the relationship between mankind and their creators is timeless. Can you, as the writer of this film, explain to us a little bit about your the origin of that theme, how that is important to you?
Well, yes. I've always been a bit of a Greek myth nerd. I really liked those stories. I think there's something about the magic. But a lot of the times when I've seen films where you're watching, you know, like Clash of the Titans, all these things with these big epic gods, you don't really feel connected to them. And so something that I was thinking about was, what if the gods were changed to the humans? What if they actually had a connection to their creators, so that they have to really deal with them and have real relationships with them, so that the audience can actually connect to the humanity of the gods and of the humans. So it just made you feel for all of the characters. And then you're also dealing with issues of, you know, cause and effect. So you have to take responsibility for your actions. So if you kill the sacred stag, you just can't go around doing that. It's a sacred creature. So you're also dealing with things with nature and the bigger picture than just our, you know, North American narcissistic society is, you know. So it's just getting into bigger, more important things beyond ourselves.
Excellent, excellent. And, you know, we've seen many incarnations of Athena. We've seen several different actresses play her. So what kind of research did you do in order to get into the mind and the essence of Athena?
Well, after just studying the different myths and then deciding how I wanted to create the character, I trained in Kali Eskrima. That was the main thing I did, just because of the type of sword fight that we did in the movie. And it's a Filipino martial art, stick fighting. And the other thing that I did was I was playing with the idea that her symbol is the owl. She's the wise goddess. And so I was watching different owl videos to try to put some of that, incorporate that movement into my character and the way that I would move, the way that I would fight, or the way that I would even just pay attention to things in the scene. Mm. So it was kind of fun and creative that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's yeah. You know, some excellent visuals here, especially early on in the film. And mm-hmm. You know, of course, you were also, for our listeners, they might not know your name yet, but I'm sure that they've seen you, especially if they watch Stargate Atlantis, Smallville, Fringe, Supernatural, yeah. Falling Skies, one of yeah. my favorite summer shows. I know it's over in Canada, but it's also, you know, playing here now this summer. Motive, great show. You know, you have a lot of different roles. So how is television different from, you know, maybe some major motion pictures that you've worked on as well?
The thing with television is it moves fast. I'm playing the female lead in a new series right now. I'm in the middle of shooting, and it just moves fast. And, you know, the thing that I'm in a different position now because I'm a series regular and we're doing 13 episodes and it starts airing in January. But I'm in a position now where I get to have a bit more creative input. And something that I've done with a lot of the TV that I've worked on is that when you go into the audition, you try to bring as much of what you would like to do with the role as possible so that you feel like you have ownership on the day when you get there. But it just moves so quick. And then with film, the stuff that I've done with film, and especially with doing your own film, is that you kind of have a lot more freedom to spend some time working with the director, spend some time trying to really get to go as deep as you can, to feel like you've really lived in it, you know? Mm-hmm. Whereas sometimes you have to just sort of throw it out there in TV land and hope that it all really connected, and then you let it go and you move on to the next thing.
Oh, excellent. Okay. And, you know, since you mentioned it, I'm sure that we'll have you on again to talk about this new sci-fi series, Helix. But let me yeah. Preview it for our listeners, and you can tell us a little more about it. It's called Helix, starts in January on Sci-Fi, an intense thriller about a team of scientists from the Centers for Disease Control who travel to a high-tech research facility in the Arctic to investigate a possible disease outbreak, only to find themselves pulled into a terrifying life-and-death struggle that holds the key to mankind's salvation or total annihilation. So how'd you get this role, and what do you think of it so far as you're filming it?
Oh, wow. I love this role. I actually auditioned for it on my birthday, so that was kind of exciting.
Oh.
But what I love about this role is that a lot of times with film and TV, I'm a bit of a feminist, I got to say, and that's part of one of the things that why I started creating my own stuff with doing Chained and things, so I could write some interesting roles for women. But what I love about this role is that a lot of times when you see powerful women on screen, they're either a cop or a supernatural character, or they have to have a weapon, or, you know, it becomes, it has to go into being tough, you know, going into that kind of land. And what's interesting about this is the female characters in this show are, they're brilliant scientists and they're real people. And they have flaws, but they also have purpose beyond their relationships. And I think that's really exciting, that there's something that they're trying to do, trying to help people. They're really, there's something bigger than just the relationship with my ex-husband, you know? So there's a, it creates interesting conflicts, because there's certain things that should be dealt with, but you can't deal with it right now. And so it kind of hooks you in a bit. But it's a great character, and I'm having a lot of fun playing her, so...
I mean, it sounds
I
like
can't a, wait for everyone to see it.
Right, we can't wait either. You know, it sounds like a fantastic show. Can't wait to see that film series again. It starts in January on Sci-Fi, and I'm sure again we will have you on probably around that time to talk a little bit more about that show. But you know, we want to thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you, and wish you the best of luck again. Screening August 22nd at the Action on Film International Film Festival. Actress Kira Zagorski's short film Change. She wrote it. She produced it, and she stars in it. Great actress. We've seen it. We loved it.
Oh, thank you so much.
And thank you so much. We'd love to have you on again.
Kara, take care. Thank you so much. Wow, this was, that's a nice review.
Yeah, yeah.
A nice review. I'm looking forward to seeing that as well. I did see some of the clips that you sent over to me, and it looked interesting. Actually, it's something I'd be really interested in.
And again, you've probably seen her because she does a lot of guest work on a lot of shows. And, you know, I know we were mentioning TV shows earlier, and you know, if you're not watching Motive, that's on ABC 15 here in the Valley, I believe on Thursdays.
Absolutely, yeah. She's done quite a bit. Some other shows, Supernatural, of course, guest appearance on there, and among many others, and Smallville as well.
She was in the ABCs of Death. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right.
Bizarre.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're making a sequel. They just announced the sequel to the directors for ABCs of Death.
I remember we
It only made $21,000 at the box office, but I mean, I saw it on Netflix, and it was very, very strange movie.
I think I only liked one of the 26 shorts.
Not the Japanese one.
No. I like the wolf one, or the dog fight one, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I also like the animated one about the toilet.
You did? The claymation one?
Yeah, the claymation one. But that's because I love, you know, claymation.
Was it a talking toilet?
No, it's how you... 26 ways to die.
I remember reviewed this.
And the toilet, it's a way that you can die in the bathroom.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Probably not the same way
I
that
saw
Dave
that.
I was thinking like the Al Bundy way is when he's done with his business.
No, Fatal Attraction. Remember that?
She died in the bathtub.
Tub, yes. Yeah.
Fatal Attraction. No, not the... Okay, I mean Lethal Weapon.
How did
remember Danny Glover got stuck in the toilet and there was a bomb?
Yeah.
That would not be a good way to die, but Mel Gibson came to the rescue.
Yes,
he did.
All right, so
he probably wouldn't come to the rescue though in real life.
Probably not.
He'd probably just punch you.
Again,
call you some racist name.
Right.
Again, we're celebrating Kick-Ass 2. Here's another trivia question.
Yeah.
What's our score? We got 0 for Eric still.
1 for
Sebastian.
2 for Greg and myself. This is a close race.
All right. Which of the following statements was sent out via Twitter by Kick-Ass 2 star Jim Carrey? You might have heard this in the news, but which of these is the right statement? A, I did Kick-Ass a month before Sandy Hook, and now, in all good conscience, I cannot support that level of violence. B, honestly, I have made some pretty gigantic mistakes in my career. One of them was letting Jenny McCarthy, my one and only true love, get away. The other was agreeing to star in the incredibly violent Kick-Ass 2. Or C, after bearing witness to the Sandy Hook tragedy and the horrors that our society is capable of, I regret appearing in something as violent as Kick-Ass.
See,
I wish that I could say that it has some sort of redeeming value. It doesn't.
Isn't that the same as A?
It's a little bit different. A, he didn't, he just says he can't support it. C, he says he regrets it.
B.
C.
B.
C.
Give me a sec, because I know it's A or C, and I'm just trying to remember.
You know, it's A or C. It's one of the two, but
C.
They're so similar. But I'm going with C.
Which one?
I'm going with
you said regret.
C. He regrets.
What was the keyword in A?
A, can't he cannot support.
No, actually, I'm going with A.
It's A. Since he did not support it after.
All right. The answer was A.
Yes.
Eric's finally on the board. He also tweeted, "My apologies to others involved with the film. I am not ashamed of it, but recent events have caused a change in my heart."
Wow.
So, Greg, you have 3 points. Dave, you have 2 points. Sebastian has one, and Eric has one.
Still a close game.
Yes.
Very close.
Give us an update on the Rattler game.
I was hoping it was B.
24-21.
I wouldn't have been a good one.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
Okay,
so after our break, we will talk a little bit about Jobs, Steve Jobs movie.
Excellent.
Ashton Kutcher.
All right, so we will take a break. And, of course, this is Breakthrough Entertainment, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. About 9 minutes, we'll have another update from Orlando, Florida, Anna Markowitz. And we will be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633. Or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.riiadvisors.com. That's riiadvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment here live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Greg Isaac, Joseph Erdo, Sebastian Noren. Joseph is going crazy in the studio, dancing, singing. Amazing what's happening, Greg. Yeah. Look at the Joseph go.
We got to get a webcam for the breaks. So
you know, that would be a good idea, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Can we do that? How do we do that, Greg?
Okay, don't ask me.
He didn't answer.
It's quite simple. Just turn your camera on.
All right, it is on. So anyway, great interview, right?
Yeah.
You had
Kara Zagorski.
Yep.
Greg, you can check it out on breakradioshow.com. Click on archives. Probably tomorrow it will be up. And also you can go to my page on Examiner. I extract the audio from these interviews, and you can hear just the interview alone, and you can read a soundbite from the interview as well.
Excellent. And still, I think 24-21 Rattlers. Oh, the second half started, it looks like. Okay. And of course, it is the Philadelphia Soul's ball. They elected to defer winning the toss at the beginning of the game. We'll keep you updated about 3 minutes. Adam Markowitz calling back in live from Orlando, Florida. More updates on Arena Bowl 26. Very close game. Let's see what happens. Arizona usually is a very strong second half team. Greg, back to you.
Absolutely. Well, I'm liking this kick-ass trivia today.
Yeah. So
the kick-ass to kick off.
Just really, it's because you're winning that you like it.
He threw it to him. Yeah, because you like it because you're winning. So, you know,
absolutely.
Let's do another kick-ass trivia
one.
Here.
Let's keep the fun going.
Yeah. You don't want to leave for this, Eric. You want a chance here. All right. Which of, because again, we're celebrating Kick-Ass 2 came out this weekend. We gave it a big thumbs up.
Uh-huh.
And all these songs are from Kick-Ass as well, from the soundtrack from the first movie and this one.
Sure.
Which of the following actors' portrayal of Batman did Nicolas Cage model his speech mannerisms after for his role as Big Daddy in Kick-Ass? Was it A, Adam West, B, George Clooney, or C, Christian Bale?
Adam West. A. Mayor Adam West.
Adam West.
Yeah, it has to be A.
Mayor Adam West. Family Guy.
All right. On the phone. What was the?
Which of the following actors' portrayal of Batman did Nicolas Cage model his speech mannerisms after for his role as Big Daddy in Kick-Ass? Was it A, Adam West, B, George Clooney, or C, Christian Bale? So far, all three of them say Adam West.
I'm going with Adam.
Everyone gets it right. Adam West. Cage started acting. He still started acting out his lines this way during the first costume fitting, and director Matthew Vaughn asked him to adopt this for his performance, citing his irritation with Christian Bale's portrayal of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so very, very exciting, right? So now our score, again, it hasn't really changed all that much. You have now four.
It adds to it. Yeah. I think, what is it, 4-3...
Four, two, one.
How about
four, three, two? Yeah,
he's got
two.
He's
got two.
Dave, don't subtract from my score.
Come on, Dave. Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that.
Out of here.
Oh, out. Okay.
All right. So we will, you know, continue more of that. And, but
4-3-2-1.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's 4-3-2-2.
It's still anyone's game.
Okay. Hey, joining us again live from Orlando, Florida, Adam. What's going on?
The score has not changed in the Arena Bowl since the last time we spoke. It's still 24-21. Arizona Rattlers came up with a big defensive stand there at the end of the first half. Antage Hawthorne blocked a field goal that gave Arizona one chance to take a 10-point lead going into the locker room. But unfortunately, Rob Windsor bobbled a pass in the end zone that would have given them that 10-point lead. And unfortunately, the Rattlers were not able to convert. And the halftime score, 24-21. Soul have the ball in the second half, and they just got on the Arizona side of the field.
Thank you so much, Adam Markowitz. We'll talk to you in another 30 minutes, and enjoy the game.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Adam Markowitz, ArenaFan.com. So gracious to call in live from Arena Bowl 26, where the Rattlers have their hands full. The defending champs against Philadelphia Soul. Okay, back to you, Greg.
Back to
I love to say that when he's not prepared. Okay, Joseph, back to you.
Right. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about jobs, Dave.
I have a job.
Careful. What are you playing with there?
iPad.
Yeah, iPad. And who made that?
Steve Jobs, Apple Computer.
Very true. Very true. You don't get a point for
oh,
that.
Oh, I thought that was a trivia question. I thought no. It was 4-4.
All right, we're having too much fun. Jobs. Okay. Ashton Kutcher portrays Steve Jobs, the original innovator and groundbreaking entrepreneur who let nothing stand in the way of greatness, blazing a trail that changed technology and the world forever. So are you a Mac guy? Are you a PC guy?
I was a Mac guy. I loved it, yeah. But then that was long ago. But then being a CPA, I needed to switch over to PC stuff because there's more accounting software, etc. Although I love Apple stuff, the Mac right. stuff, and I don't have one except for the iPad.
And so do you? What do you think of this trailer when you watch? Would you think of Ashton
and
Kutcher as Steve Jobs?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it looked very interesting. I'm a big fan of Steve Jobs. Of course, sadly passed away a while back this year. But I love people that do it their own way, and they have such vision. They have such determination. They live their passion. You gotta admire people like that. He was kicked out, sadly, of his own organization, came back and ran it again. I mean, the guy was so successful, and he put on such great products. Mm-hmm. You got to admire someone like that.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, before I give my review, Greg, could you go to Facebook if it's not going to cause a problem with the game? Yeah. Go to Facebook, and because I don't have my trivia question for Jobs. I know we posted it on Facebook as a trivia question. I want to let everyone in on that, a limerick. So, but as for my review, Jobs is an extraordinary story told in an extremely ordinary way. All right? Mm-hmm. I'm still giving this a thumbs up. We have three thumbs up on today's show. I'm still giving it a thumbs up. But, and you know, because star Ashton Kutcher, he does a really fine performance as Steve Jobs. He gets the walk down perfectly. You know, he's kind of like that tall, lanky walk. And he does that perfectly. Doesn't feel like a parody at all. And, you know, of course, we're talking about the Apple Inc. co-founder, chairman, and CEO Steve Jobs. The film itself is a little bit too fixated on the company itself, you know, Apple Computers. And not nearly enough on the man, which is kind of ironic considering, you know, that's a lot of the criticism of Steve Jobs himself.
Yeah.
And that they reveal in the movie, he, you know, really didn't focus on himself. He didn't focus on his family. He was all about this company and changing the world. And, you know, so the end result is a little too technical for, you know, most people who don't really maybe know how to build their own computer. But it's still worth seeing, if only to witness how far we have come and how we have come so far. So, again, it's a thumbs up.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. So, the limerick. Do you want to read our limerick and see if the in-studio people here can get it?
Absolutely. Here we go.
Apple once was a man from Nantucket.
That was me. Peter Griffin. Careful. An apple used to just be a snack, but Steve Jobs had a real special knack for using his brain and changing the game. He's the genius who invented the
Mac,
yes.
Burger.
You wouldn't believe how many people got that wrong.
Really?
Yeah. You kidding me?
I guess they didn't get the concept of rhyming something, and so they...
What did they say? What did some people say?
A lot of people said computer. A lot of people
really?
Said, you know, Apple Inc. A lot of people, you know.
IBM.
So I didn't even... And they said Macintosh. Yeah, a lot of people were saying iPhone, iPad, iPod. Hmm. So, of course, we gave tickets away on examiner.com and breakradioshow.com. Click on the big F in the upper right-hand corner. You can win tickets, free tickets to advanced screenings like Jobs. But, so we did award those tickets to a lot of the people that got it right. We did a random draw, but a lot of people also got it wrong.
Yeah.
I didn't even give points for Macintosh because, again, when we're doing these limericks.
It needs to rhyme.
Exactly.
How about Mac the Knife?
Do I get a ticket now then? Or?
No, yeah, you win.
Well, it's already out, so now you're too late.
Oh.
All right. So again, a thumbs up for Jobs. And here's the theme, Dave. Curious what you think of this. This is a quote from Steve Jobs. This was in a commercial, I believe in the 90s. The people who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who do.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, if you think about it, what he's really saying there is don't be limited by your own self-imposed limitations. There's no question about it. Think big. Think you can. Don't say, I don't know how. Rather say, how can it be done? Think of possibilities. The world doesn't do that, but the select few do that. And there's no doubt about it. In the trailer, I really liked it. Steve Jobs was quoted as saying, in life, you only get to do so many things. Think about the implication of that. Pick your priorities based on what? How do you pick your priorities? I mean, value, service, most positive impact, to the greatest number of people? What is the priorities? Because if you only have a, you know, so many things you can do, what do you do? That makes people really stop and think, are they doing really petty things? Are they about to do and reach their full potential? That is what I say people should do.
Very true. And, you know, in this commercial that Steve Jobs made for Apple Computers, he showed images of, you know, Jim Henson, you know, Einstein, all these people who, you know, they're really creative people.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Think about, you know, these people a long time ago, when the people who thought that the world was round and everyone, you know, said, hey, you know, the world is flat, right?
That's right.
And they prove that the world is round. So it's often when you really think outside of the box, yeah. And I think that's what, you know, Apple Computers mm-hmm. and Macintosh and, you know, even Google now, they all want to think outside yeah. of the box and not, like you said, put limitations on yourself. Because when you do, when you are creative, that is when you find answers that, you know, to questions that you didn't even know exist.
Yeah, there's no question about it, and that should be the goal. However, people get stuck. The masses get stuck. They don't know what they're missing. But more importantly, the impact on their family, their friends, and the potential implications on the world keep things down. Let's progress forward. Let's think outside the box by rising above yourself and those limitations.
Great way to put it. And, you know, I there's a lot of different themes in Jobs. Again, I'm giving it a thumbs up. It's playing this weekend. And opening this weekend, sorry. And some of the other themes I wish that they would have expanded upon. You know, I mentioned earlier how Steve Jobs really wasn't into his family. He didn't spend enough time with them. I wish they would have expanded on those, mm-hmm. you know, because those are some important lessons as well. You know, this guy, he was really successful. We know his name. They're making movies about him. You know, he was just rich and wealthy. And, you know, but was he really that rich and wealthy in his personal
yeah.
life?
Yeah.
You know, maybe later on he was. We see some of that. But he did kind of neglect a lot of those things earlier on. I wish that, you know, because that's an important lesson, too, that you can take away from the film. They just kind of hid it a little bit.
Do you know how old he was when he passed away?
I don't believe that old, actually. You want to look it up?
It's got to be in the 60s.
Yeah, he wasn't that old. Yeah. Probably around the age Ashton, that Dave says he is.
They made Ashton Kutcher look a lot older than he actually...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he was 56 when he passed away. Yeah.
They made Ashton Kutcher... He's only in one scene in the beginning of the movie. They just like kind of... When he's introducing the iPod. But they make him look like he's 80 years old.
Oh, wow.
He's got wrinkles and everything. And when you see at the end of his life, he was not that old.
Yeah.
You know, so, but again, Jobs thumbs up. So again, three thumbs up this week, and the biggest thumbs up, of course, was Kick-Ass 2. So let's do another trivia question.
Yeah. What's the score before we do it?
Philadelphia Soul 27, Arizona Rattlers 24. Rattlers good field position though.
Well, I didn't mean that score. What's the trivia?
Our in-studio score.
4-3-2-2.
All right, it's still
so Greg. I didn't know that Greg is
score,
winning.
So you guys.
All right. So which of the following statements did Kick-Ass 2 star? Wait, no, this is...
Say it again, I'll get another point.
Okay.
Now say it in a different way.
Okay, yes, all right, this is the right question. I thought I was rereading something. Which of the following statements did Kick-Ass 2 star Chloe Grace Moretz make during an interview? A, it's a movie. If you're going to believe and be affected by an action film, you should not go see Pocahontas because you are going to think that you are a Disney princess. B, it's a movie. If you're going to believe and be affected by an action film, you shouldn't go see Jurassic Park because you were going to think that dinosaurs are still roaming the earth. C, it's a movie. If you are going to believe and be affected by an action film, you shouldn't go see Babe because you're going to think that pigs can actually talk.
A.
C.
I thought we still had dinosaurs. What's Babe doing here? What was the first one?
A was about Pocahontas and people thinking that they're a Disney princess.
Oh. I think it was C, the Babe one.
C, well, I said C.
You said C, and Eric?
C.
C. Sebastian gets it right.
Wow.
It's A.
Oh my God.
It was Pocahontas.
Yeah, so she also said, if you are that easily swayed, you might see The Silence of the Lambs and think that you are a serial killer. It's a movie, and it's fake, and I've known that since I was a kid. I don't want to run around trying to kill people and cuss. If anything, these movies teach you what not to do.
Oh, good. Absolutely. Okay, I like that. Let's take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion in the world of entertainment. And this is Break True Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX. We'll have a live update in about 20 minutes, but I do think the Rattlers have taken the lead. What is it? 31-27, I believe. And Go Rattlers. We'll be right back.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Greg Isaac, Joseph Erdo, and Sebastian Noren. What is that music? It's from Kick-A?
It's from Kick-Ass, too.
From Tetris.
This is one of the best
Canada
scenes.
Kick-A? Oh, is that one of the best scenes?
One of the best action scenes in the film. It stars Mother Russia, different character than Christopher Mintz Plasticky.
I know who that Mother Russia is.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah.
Well, I'll show it.
I know how it got its name.
Were you married to her?
No, yeah.
Oh,
probably. Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, it's kind of like Tetris, right?
Yeah, it is Tetris.
Yeah.
Oh. All right, so, wow, so we've done a lot. We've had, what, three thumbs up, I believe, right?
Yes, three thumbs up. So you can see Kick-Ass 2, you can see Lee Daniels, the butler, or you can see Jobs. And any,
nice.
If any of them that you see, you're going to be in good shape.
I like it. And, of course, we had Kira Zagorski on, and she's a delightful woman. And, of course, that's Chained, and that's August 22nd on Action on Film International Film Festival. And she's up for Best Leading Actress.
Absolutely, she
nice.
Is.
Nice. Yeah. That was really cool.
And, of course, our score, as we continue to celebrate Kick-Ass 2, is Eric, you have 2 points. And Sebastian, you have 3. Dave, you have 3. Greg, you are in the lead with 4. And
absolutely.
Now, it's still anyone's game. We've got a lot of questions in this hour, or this last 15 minutes of the show. And so let's kick it off with another Kick-Ass 2 question. What was the final line uttered by Christopher Mintz-Plasse in Kick-Ass? Now, I know you've seen it, Greg. So his
I
last line.
It.
I know, but you might still
well,
be able to
fair.
Get this.
I know. Boo, boo.
Okay, well.
So do I have to answer it last then? And Sebastian?
Yeah, you answer
it, too,
it last.
Right?
Yeah, you guys answer it last. So, all right. A, no, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. B, a census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. Or C, as a great man once said, wait till they get a load of me.
Wait, who said?
Christopher Mintz-Plasse's character, who was a superhero in the first
Russia?
One.
Mother McLovin.
There's a different character, Mother Russia.
Oh, so this is McLovin saying
this.
Yes. Okay, say it again. What's the three?
Either no, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. Or C, as a great man once said, wait till they get a load of me. Eric?
I'm going to go with C.
Eric says C.
I mean, they're all quotes from movies.
Yeah.
Sebastian.
No, it's yours.
You have to because we've seen
They've seen it.
Oh, darn it.
Then we absolutely know what it is.
Well, I think it's B.
And you guys say?
C.
Oh, darn.
I got a point. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So Eric gets another point. And
So what is it now?
So does Sebastian and Greg.
But they've said, okay.
A little explanation about that. It's a bonus point for the first person to name the famous movie villain who he was quoting.
The Joker.
Oh, yes,
wow,
there he goes.
Cool. Jack Nicholson.
Good job, Eric. You're back in the game. You are back in the game.
What's the score?
Well, now you're losing, Dave.
Yes.
Sebastian and Eric both have 4. You have 3. Greg's still in the lead with 5.
But there is a bonus thing.
There's still a bonus.
So it won't matter anyways because Eric always gets the bonus.
But here's the thing. Now we're going to do – I know, yeah. So here we're going to do some news or false. Now our listeners who listen to our Thursday show know that we, you know, when we take it to on the road, we play this news or false game every once in a while with our listeners, with our people that who come out and see the show. All right, so is this true news or false? Okay, true news item, true movie news item, or just something that I made up? Valley resident and author Stephanie Meyer this week announced that she has completed work on a new installment of the Twilight Saga. Summit Entertainment also announced that it has already begun development of bringing it to the big screen with most of the series regulars returning. Is that news or false?
False.
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 False, because I don't think the regulars are returning.
Everyone gets it.
Oh, wow.
Let's see. And
but I get it more.
And
why aren't they really going?
In fact, Meyer told Variety, I get further away every day. I am so over it. For me, it's not a happy place to be. What I would probably do is 3 paragraphs on my blog saying which of the characters died. I'm interested in spending time in other worlds like Middle Earth. So she hasn't written this. It's not going to happen.
No, not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
But I don't think she's tired of it after billions.
Well, yeah.
I think there's talk of from different point of views that they'll eventually have
restaurant
She might not be involved.
Right.
All right. Actor Hugh Jackman this week signed a deal that is reportedly worth $100 million to appear in appear four more times in movies featuring his character Wolverine. This deal does not include next year's X-Men: Days of Future Past. News or false?
News.
True. News.
News.
News. What are you doing, Greg?
He's saying news.
He's saying news.
Careful there.
He's drinking
water. All right, everyone gets it wrong. It's false.
Oh, I knew it.
Well, actually, that makes a little sense because he's not old, but he's not tremendously young. So when you look at it, to make four new ones even after that one, that can take 8 to 10 more years at least.
Right. Jackman has outright called this a rumor, saying, "I would never do that. I've never done that, mainly because for the fans and for me, each time I've gone around, there's been a really good reason to do it, and I don't know what the reason is from here. I'm just in the middle of making this, and I'm promoted the other, and I'm really happy with the way that Wolverine came out." All right, next question. News or false? Actor Vin Diesel this week signed on to lend his voice to a talking tree named Groot in Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy superhero flick due out next year. News or false?
True.
God, news. I hope that's false.
News. Oh, I miss it. I was watching the Rattler score. Oh, a holding call. Maybe negated the TV. Okay, what's the question?
We'll find out if that's news or false.
Actor Vin Diesel signed on to lend his voice to a talking tree named Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy, a superhero flick due out next year.
News.
News. False.
News.
Everyone except for Sebastian gets it.
No,
That was just too far out there not to be true.
Yeah, and Vin Diesel is a talking tree. It makes
a lot
of sense.
What's the score now? What's the score?
Diesel, the score is, Dave, you're still losing.
Oh, I thought Greg's I caught up to someone.
No, you're still losing.
I have five.
You have five.
Do I have?
You have six.
What do you have?
And Sebastian has six, and Greg has seven. All right, so Diesel told the LA Times, "I'm an actor. I can do whatever the bleep I want. As an actor, not everything has to be the most obvious choice, and sometimes the best you can do, as far as Steven Spielberg and his advice, is to defy expectations. So if everybody thinks that you're going to go for this one thing and you flip it entirely and go for the strangest Marvel character, it's interesting. And when something is interesting, it's inspiring."
That's false because he didn't say bleep. He said something else. Am I right?
No, that was just an explanation of it.
No, I'm taking it literally.
Right, okay. All right. Walt Disney Pictures. Remember we reviewed this movie, Blackfish? That was last week, right? Blackfish was last week. You weren't here.
Yeah.
Where was
right.
I? Connecticut?
Oh, the one about the wells.
Right,
and,
right. So Walt Disney Pictures and Pixar Animation this week decided to make some alterations to 2015's Finding Dory, the sequel to Finding Nemo, in response to the recently released documentary Blackfish about SeaWorld and the mistreatment of killer whales and their trainers. News or false?
That's definitely news.
News.
News, news.
No.
News.
False.
False.
News.
News? Everyone except for Sebastian.
Yes. You know how I know that? I know that because I talked to a marine biologist at my family reunion, and he told me that story.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
what are they changing?
Wow.
We may do an investigative report on that.
So there's not going to be killer whales?
No, they're just checking it out.
Now I have more points than Sebastian, correct?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
And what's the score now?
Well, now you are tied with Sebastian, Dave.
Oh, so sorry.
Yeah. So, but Greg is still winning. By one. All right, so...
That's how it goes.
Screenwriter Victoria Strauss, by the way, reportedly adjusted the script to change the setting of the film's finale, which was originally going to take place in a marine park. Pixar has decided to restructure that part of the story so that the fish and mammals taken to its aquatic center have the option to leave. Okay, so I'll scroll down here. We've got a couple of the more interesting ones. Let's do this one. Amanda Seyfried this week revealed that the body we see in her new biographical drama Lovelace is in fact not her own, but rather a stunt double, so to speak, with her facial features digitally mastered into each scene.
News.
False.
That's false, because I've seen those things false. Before, false. And those definitely look like hers.
False.
So everyone's saying false except for Dave?
Yes.
And everyone gets it except for Dave.
No. Yeah,
because we know she likes to show off the goods,
well,
like
in
Chloe.
Wasn't she?
Chloe, with Julianne Moore. And
I'm saying the wrong movies.
And I will never forgive her for essentially taking a sledgehammer to the pedestal that I have put her on for all these years. Nor will I forgive Lindsay Lohan for essentially causing me momentary blindness as a result of having seen her body in the canyons.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. I saw the a picture from that. Yikes.
Yes. All right. So let's do one more news or false, and then we'll move on to another topic here. Actress Lindsay Lohan, speaking of which, whose new dramatic thriller The Canyons opens in theaters this weekend, signed on to a remake/sequel hybrid to 2013's Freaky Friday. Jamie Lee Curtis will also reprise her role as her mother. News or false?
False.
False.
Everyone says false. Okay, everyone gets the point. Lohan's production slate is currently empty, according to IMDb.
Yeah, nobody's going to work with her.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, she was in a movie with James Dean, for God's sakes.
Oh, that's
porn
crazy.
Star.
Good point.
Oh, really? Let's turn on AFL.
All right. Okay. Let's do another kick-ass trivia. Let's do actually, before we do our final kick-ass trivia point, I have something special for our listeners. From now on, when we close out the Breakthrough Entertainment Show, you know, Dave, we have these things called Dave's Random Enlightenments. He says these from time to time. So I decided to pull out a Dave's Random Enlightenment from my previous show.
Touchdown, Rattlers!
Okay, Dave has said
these. There's one of the random enlightenments right there.
Right. Dave has said these things on previous shows, and you know, these are brilliant things, life affirming lessons. Mean a lot to people. People can learn a lot from when you hear these things, Dave. So this week, for the first one, for Dave's random enlightenment this week, we have you telling us a little bit about marriage, how to sustain a relationship, how to keep the romance and the fire alive in a relationship, talking from your own experience from your marriage. And let's hear what you had to say.
Really?
Previous marriage.
And all I saw was explosions. I think it was January 17th at 4:31 a.m. in the morning. That was unbelievable. It was a mess, and it was really scary. We had a house on the hill, and there's all glasses in the bedrooms, and I didn't know if it was an earthquake or a bomb. Certain very terrifying events are life-changing often, yeah. And it does change your values, and it changes your decisions. So I moved to Phoenix.
Boom.
Tell us how you really feel, Dave.
Oh, boy.
I'm curious why there were a bunch of glasses in the bedroom.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
I don't want
to
know.
Oh, geez, Dave.
So, y'all right?
That's hysterical.
So each week
we'll
do another.
You look like Red Mist right now.
Each week we'll do another Dave's Random Enlightenment. Things that you can really learn a lot from Dave from. So let's do our final question. Again, the score here is Greg is winning.
Oh, my point doesn't work.
Greg's got 10 points. Dave, you have 7 points. Sebastian has 8, and Eric, you have 9. All right.
What do I have?
You have
7.
7. All right.
What's it worth so I can win?
It is worth
5 points.
It's worth 5 points. We'll do 5 points.
So basically,
we'll do 5 points. Okay,
so
everyone gets a piece of paper here, mm-hmm. and Eric, you will say yours first. And all right, without going over, and if you have to trade pens in a minute, okay. All right, without going over, what is the total body count in the first Kick-Ass? Without going over, total body count in Kick-Ass. I'll give you a second to write it down, and. You know, of course, we'll let Eric say it, but in a minute, let them write theirs down so that they don't cheat off of you. And, you know, we've got, only
it's
got...
like Jeopardy.
Yeah. Yeah, we've only got a couple minutes
counts
in the show.
Total, even if
total
there's like an explosion
in the first
that we're assuming.
Yeah. So you got it?
Without going over.
Without going over.
I didn't see it.
You did? Well, that's okay. That's okay. Did you write something
yeah.
down? Okay. Are you
Come
done,
on,
Greg? Come on. Show's going to end. All right, Eric. Oh,
hey.
Yay.
Trebek.
Eric, what's yours?
I'm going, what is 10?
What is 10? Okay.
Ooh.
All right, Eric says 10. Show me yours.
So wait,
Sebastian.
We were talking about people that were killed, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Sebastian. I had 110.
110?
I have 90. What is 90?
No, 90?
I think I won.
Trebek, what is 14?
And the answer was 59. Greg, you
win. What language
was
that?
So the answer was 59.
I don't know what I just said, guys. And,
wow.
Hopefully I didn't offend anyone.
Go to Disneyland.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, what language was it?
Wow, so again, you won, huh?
Go see Kick-Ass 2. And, of course, you know, if you want to listen to listen to this broadcast again, maybe you can hear Dave's Random Enlightenment again. go to BreakRadioShow.com and listen to the archive. Of course, we will have another one here next Saturday on Breakthrough Entertainment.
I can't wait to see what that is or hear that. Wow, so this is amazing. This funny show today. So three thumbs up?
Three thumbs up, yes.
All right, so three thumbs up, and what are they again?
Jobs, big thumbs
love
up.
Love me tender.
Lee Butler,
love
the Dan. Lee Butler. Tender. Lee Daniels, the Butler, thumbs up, and Kick-Ass 2, big thumbs up.
All right, well, thank you so much, Joseph Erdo. We're going to remain, Greg, Sebastian, myself, joined by Paige DeMacos, coming in, Real Hockey Talk, 12-1, and in about 2 minutes, another update, Orlando, Florida, Mark. Adam Markowitz, of course, arenafan.com. We'll be right back with that update.
you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement?
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.